come together on a beautiful first day of the week and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Appreciate all of you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We are always grateful and delighted to have visitors with us. We thank you for coming, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. If you have questions about what you see take place, what you hear in the sermon, don't hesitate to let us know. And if we don't have an answer for your Bible question, then we'll search the Scriptures until we find an answer. And if we cannot give you a scriptural justification for why we're doing what we're doing, then that's something that we shouldn't have dig for, because if we're doing it without scriptural authority, then we shouldn't be doing it in the first place. And so you ought to get an answer for all those questions as to why we do what we do. So I appreciate you being here. I encourage you to take your Bible out and follow along with me, and make sure that what I say is in harmony with the Word of God. There's a number of things that the Bible points out that God did with Christ. And it makes a good study when you think about what God did with Jesus. And so there's an outline in the back. If you want one of those, you're welcome to pick that up and just add to this list. And I'm not going to share all of what God did with Christ. It'd be a good study. You could just continue to add to the list that I have, but I've put 10 on this sermon outline that we'll talk about this morning. If I were to ask you to take out a slice of paper and write down the things that God did with Jesus, what would you put on the paper? Can you think of some things that the Bible points out that God did with Him? Now, there's a number of things that the Bible points out that God accomplished by Christ. In other words, what God did for us by His Son. And that'd be another good sermon, but this one specifically talks about some things that the Bible says straightforward that God did with Him. And the first one I want to share with you is the fact that the Bible teaches that God created the world by Christ. A lot of people don't realize that. And the many things that we talk about this morning are good passages to show that there is more than one in the Godhead. 1 John 5, verse 7. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 9, a lot of passages talk about the fact that God created all things by Jesus Christ to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, was you aware of the fact that God created everything by Jesus Christ? Most people of a religious mind understand and know that God created all things. There's no doubt about that. And you can't get any further than the first verse of the Bible without learning that truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And a slew of Bible passages talk about the fact that God created all things. You think about Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 11, for in 6 days thou hast created the heaven and the earth. Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2 talks about that. Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2. John chapter 1 talks about the fact that God created all things. Colossians chapter 1 talks about that. I just mentioned to you Ephesians chapter 3 that talks about that. So there's no denying the fact that God created everything. But how did He get the job done? It was by Jesus Christ, and that's what the passage in Ephesians 3, verse 9 points out. And then when you look at Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 16, Colossians is almost parallel to the book of Ephesians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, power, all things were created by Him and for Him. Someone says, well, who is that in reference to? Keep reading. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Well, who is that talking about? And He is the head of the body, the church. Well, who is that talking about? Jesus. And so God created all things by Christ. And then probably the most well-known passage that shows that is John chapter 1. Begin with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were in the beginning, and He was God. The Word was God. All things were created by Him, verse 3. And without Him was not made anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then He launches out to talk about John. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So what did God do with Christ? Made all things by Him. But then I think about the fact that God raised Him from the dead. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, and then verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And then talks about the authority of Christ. And that statement that God raised Him from the dead is found a number of places. Acts chapter 4 and then verse 10. Acts chapter 10 and then verse 40. The outline I've got, Acts 20 verse 10. But Acts 10 verse 40. And Acts 17, 30, when Paul said that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath raised from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And the Bible says that Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power because He was raised from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. So as you think about what God did with Christ, He created the world by Him, raised Him from the dead. Number 3, God gave Him. If it wasn't for God's love in sending Jesus to the world, we could not be saved. I know that I'm talking to a room that is by and large filled with people who believe and understand that point. But because of God's love for us, John chapter 3 verse 16, He sent His Son, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's a big term, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. And then Paul wrote in Galatians 4 and in verse 4, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. And so the fact that God sent Him, we can have the forgiveness of our sins and be a member of the Lord's church and doing what we're doing this morning. Number 4, what God did with Christ. He set Him at His own right hand. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 20. What did God do with Christ after He was crucified and after He rose from the dead? Well, He ascended to heaven, and the Bible says that He sat on the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. We've already talked about that point. And set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. You can use that little point again to show that there is more than one in the Godhead. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 7, when the Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Well, they are in unity, but that doesn't mean they're the same person. I recently taught about that, I believe. I know I'm teaching on that on the radio and TV program, but I think I recently mentioned that here with you. There has to be more than three. And this passage in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 shows that. He raised Him from the dead, set Him on His own right hand. You cannot sit on your own right hand. Try it. But God the Father set His Son, Christ, on His right hand. No wonder it's stated in Acts chapter 7. And in verse 55, when they were stoning Stephen, the Bible says he looked up into heaven and said, I see the heavens open, the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the Father's right hand. The King James Version says He's standing on the right hand of God. In Mark 16, verse 9, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with Him, confirming the word with signs following what we talked about in the Bible class this morning. Where is Jesus at now? On the right hand of the Father. It's a place of authority, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And so God the Father set Christ at His right hand. But then the Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that God highly exalted Jesus. Well, if he highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee on earth, or every knee should bow, things in earth, things in heaven, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And so he has highly exalted Jesus, given him a name that is above every name. Do you ever think about what is in a name? We're surrounded by people in the religious world who say there's absolutely nothing in a name. Now they'll try to say that because they want to say it doesn't matter what's above the door. They'll say the sign above the door won't get you to heaven. I didn't say it would. But if you go and post something above the door, it best be a scriptural name. You agree? Because you're talking about the Lord's people. You're talking about the people inside. Now, if you're in the religious world and you want to describe them by some man's name, go have to it. I didn't say it's right. But you might as well if you're a member of a church you don't read about in the Bible. But I'm talking about describing the Lord's people. And the Bible describes them as the church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And the church of God he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. And when Paul was writing to them, he said this: salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Now, to those who say, well, there's nothing in a name, I remember reading somewhere in a book, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name written, given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and in verse 12 is where that's at. There's many things in name. Makes a good sermon. Things in the name of Christ. The Bible says we're to do things in the name of Christ. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But he highly exalted him. You can't be saved except it be through Christ. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. You know how I know that? The Bible tells me so. I'm not a song leader. But I know so because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 10 that salvation is in Christ Jesus. I just read to you Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. Ryan, by the way, did such a very good job in our scripture reading of Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Appreciate you doing that, Ryan. Did a very, very good job. And you need to encourage him in that word. And then, lest I forget to mention, Brody did an outstanding job as well in the Lord's Supper. Did a very good job in helping serve the Lord's Supper. And then to add to that, led in prayer. Did a very good job, bro. You need to encourage him in that good work that both of them are doing. So proud of both of them and so happy and blessed to have them, their whole family, as members of the church here with us at Mill Street. Appreciate them very much. But he raised him from the dead, set him at his right hand, highly exalted him. Then as you think about what God did with Christ, gave him all authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus to the apostles said, before he commissioned them to go out and teach all nations, said, all authority hath, or power, the King James Version says, it's a word that's equivalent to the word authority. All authority, power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he committed. You know why he could commission them and direct them and command them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Because he had all power and authority and all right to do it. With the expectation that they would obey him, and they did in that command. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so they did that. I think on the TV radio program a good number of years ago, it was a 20 lesson series that I titled In Obedience to the Lord's Command. And you could do more than 20 on that. Many things they did in obedience to the Lord's command. No wonder Paul wrote to those at Colossae and said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. There's that word all again. Bible alls. I've preached that before. All authority. All that you do in word. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. And you just keep on going with Bible alls. But do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. But then also, God made Christ, Jesus, Lord and Christ. You read that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when Peter was proclaiming the gospel. Now, Peter's sermon is one that we have recorded all the apostles preached. How do you know that? Well, because the text infers that, necessarily implies that. How hear we, every man in our own tongue, the wonderful works of God? Hear them speak the wonderful talks of God. But Peter's sermon is recorded. And Peter said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus was his name that he was named when he was 8 days old and they brought him to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And that he was named even before he was born. Thou shalt bring forth a son and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. It's a Old Testament equivalent of the word Joshua, which means God saves, God is salvation. For, that introduces a reason, that's why he was called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. God is salvation. God made Jesus of Nazareth, Lord, that is to reign over, and Christ, the anointed one. He is the one that fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies concerning what they had prophesied concerning the coming of the Savior of the world, Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 17. And you read in the book of Revelation 7 and 17 verse 14, and these shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. God made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's reigning. When, by the way, will Jesus reign? As a preacher, that's just a poor way to say it. That's not even the right question. It's not when will he, it's the fact that he's reigning now. You agree with that? Is it that he will reign or he is reigning? There's people today, even among God's people, that deny the kingship, lordship, reigning of Christ. Have a distorted view, concept of the kingdom. Oh, it's going to be gone. Not so. If the kingdom is not now, then Jesus is not reigning now. Or else you have a king without a kingdom. That won't work. He's both Lord. It has made him. He's sitting at the right hand of God, reigning right now. And he'll do so until when? Till all enemies are put under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I like to tell people, as long as men are dying, Jesus is still reigning. If not, why not? He's reigning right now. He's our king. You agree with that? He's our king. Well, a king needs a kingdom. And what else did God do with Christ? He gave him a kingdom. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, in verse 14, one of the places in the Old Testament that you'll read about the establishment of the Lord's church, Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 2, Micah chapter 4, and fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 according to Joel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 14, let's begin with verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. You might want to underscore, came with the clouds of heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven, a cloud received him out of their sight. Mark 16 and Acts 1. Came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. If that's not a throwback to Daniel chapter 2, I don't know what is. This kingdom that God would set up in the days of these kings shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Well, what's he talking about? The same kingdom that the Bible talks about in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Isaiah chapter 2. Which had come to the New Testament and refers to the house of the Lord as the church of God, which is a pillar in the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 15. Jesus said, I'll build my church, Mark 16, 18, and then called it the kingdom in Matthew 16, verse 19. That's the kingdom of which he's reigning over, which is the church. You just can't get around that. Someone says, oh, preacher, I still won't have it. I think it's yet in the future. Then you explain Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. When 2,000 years or more, close ago, Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae and said that God has translated or delivered us rather out of the kingdom, out of the power of darkness rather, and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Where were they at? Delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His Son. That's the church. That's the kingdom they were in. You don't agree with that, just get with me after service and I'll listen to you. But I'll give you the passages that nail it down that he's talking about the church and that we're members of the church, we're members of the kingdom. But also, not only did he give him all authority, not only did he give him a kingdom, he gave him to be the head of the kingdom, the church. Someone says, I thought the Pope was the head of the church. Well, he's the head of the Catholic Church. We're not talking about the Catholic Church. We're talking about the Lord's Church. And God gave Christ, not me, not Blaine, not Tom, all the way around the room. He gave Christ to be the head of the church, which is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Wives, submit unto your husbands. Why? Wives, obey your husbands. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is also the head of the church and the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and then verse 23. That's why we seek to do all things by the authority of King Jesus, who is the head of the church. Last point. I've given you nine. If you were putting the sermon together, what would you put down for number 10? There may be more than what I've given you. But here's one that I want you to think about as we close the lesson. God has committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus said in John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. In Acts 17:31, I mentioned Acts 17:30 earlier. God once winked at this ignorance, but commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because at the point of the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Don't forget that point. God will judge, but how does he do it? By that man whom he hath appointed, giving assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so we may give an account of the things that we have done in this body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Now the Bible does say that we'll give an account unto God, that we'll stand in judgment before God, but it's through His Son. That's what those passages are talking. He'll be the judge on that day that we stand before. Those passages show that. Without question. And then you have places like Romans chapter 2, verse 16, in the day, talking about the judgment day, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Here's the standard according to my gospel. God the Father will judge through His Son on that day, and the standard that will be used is His Word. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And they were judged out of the things which were written in the books. As John pictured the judgment in Revelation 20, 12 through 15, no wonder the Lord said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings has one that judgeth them, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge them in the last day. 10 things God did with Christ. Hope that it's been beneficial to you. Should you have questions or comments, you don't hesitate to let me know that. I'll listen to you. Won't get upset with you. If you differ with me, we'll just seek to find a Bible answer for all that we do. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, I know there's folks here not obey the gospel. And you've had more than the opportunity you had this morning to obey the gospel. You may not have another. One day, every opportunity, all the opportunities be gone. Not another. So you need to obey. It's very simple. You do what they did in the book of Acts to become a Christian. As I said before, when you do what they did, you'll become what they were. Nothing more, nothing less. Here in the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Acts 3, verse 19, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Acts 8, verse 37, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be buried with Christ in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, God will forgive you of everything you've ever done. Every sin washed away, not by the water, but by the blood of Christ, Revelation 1:5. Maybe you're here this morning, you have done that. But you turned your back on the Lord, you've not been living as you should. And you want to come home, you want to be restored. Straighten all that up and start anew. What a beautiful day to do that. Beautiful first day of the week, and you have opportunity to do that by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayer. We have His assurance that He'll forgive, Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. There's danger and delay, so don't put it off. Come right now.